Luke 17, verse 11 through 19. We're looking at miracles that Christ performed in the New Testament, the Gospels, learning what they truly mean for us. They are the proof that Christ is who He is and who He said He was. And it is evidence that we should trust Him and put our faith in Him. He that has authority over seas and over diseases and over death certainly has authority over my sin and can forgive me of that. So that's what we're looking at, the ability of Christ to overcome and forgive us of our sinfulness in these miracles. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for the privilege to be here this morning. Pray that You would help us. Thank You for allowing us to come and the ability to come. God, we need You now more than ever to understand Your Word, to receive Your Word. Do not let Your Word just simply be expounded and fall on deaf ears, but God, make ears to hear, hearts to receive, wills to do Your Word. God, cause Your Word to go forth in power, not the power of a man, but the power of the Holy Spirit. And do a great work for Your glory with it. We'll thank You for that in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 11 of Luke chapter number 17, "And it came to pass, as Jesus went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when He saw them, He said unto them, 'Go, show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" And that's God's word. And all God's people said, I thought, since we looked at the leper that was healed last week in a different portion of Scripture, while that particular miracle was maybe still fresh on our minds, we would also look at this miracle of Christ healing the 10 lepers. If you will remember, we said last week that the disease of leprosy was a terrible disease that affected the entire body. It affected the skin, it affected the blood, it affected the bones. And leprosy separated the leper from the temple and thus separated him from God. And there was no earthly cure. So biblically, leprosy is often used as the symbol of sin that infects the entirety of our being, separates us from God, and has no earthly cure. The Christ that is able to heal leprosy is also able to heal our sin-sick souls and save us from its condemnation. So each miracle that we look at will indeed show us something important about ourselves and something important about God's redeeming work in our life. So, we have this particular miracle of Christ healing the 10 lepers. And I want to share with you three lines of thought under three headings. The first heading is this: the guiltiness of their cry. The guiltiness of the leper's cry. It came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him there 10 men that were lepers, yet they stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So we have 10 lepers which stand at a distance from Christ because of their leprosy. Because of their leprosy, they can't come close to Christ. Because of their leprosy, they must stand away and at a distance from all humans, including Christ. And they cry out to him from this distance in a loud voice. And notice what they cry out: "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now let me say this. They're crying to the right person. Say amen. Matter of fact, they're crying to the only person that can truly help them. Notice they don't cry to the priest, because the priest had the ability to declare them clean, but the priest don't have the ability to make them clean. Only one person has the authority and the ability to cleanse them of their disease, and that is Christ. And so when they stand at a distance and cry out to Christ, they're crying out to the right person. He's the only one that can help them. And let me just say here before I move on, the only person that can help us with our sin disease is Jesus Christ. Cry out to Him. If you do, you're crying out to the right person. Their cry to Jesus is not based upon anything other than His mercy. I want you to get that. They cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So their cry for healing to Jesus is based upon His mercy. Had the lepers done anything for Christ? Had they? Could they do anything for Christ? No. They stand at a distance knowing their unworthiness, knowing their disease, and yet they cry for mercy. And when they cry to Jesus for mercy, they find mercy. They find that Jesus is merciful and ready to give mercy. And that is the wonderful truth of salvation by grace alone that we don't hear much of anymore, but it is through grace alone, by faith alone, not by our works. In their cry for mercy, these lepers know that they have no merits. They have nothing to offer Jesus Christ. They see their guiltiness, they know what they deserve, and they cry out for mercy. And listen, there's no other way for a sinner to be saved than to cry out according to the mercy of God. We do not stand before God as the Pharisee bragging about what we have done or what we have not done. We do not stand boasting in our putrid rags. We come guilty, we come broken, we come hopeless, and we plead that the God of all power would have compassion and mercy on the likes of us. And like these lepers, we come to Christ unclean. We come in our uncleanliness, hoping to be made clean. Say amen. We don't come to Christ after we have obtained some element or some level of righteousness. No, we come to be declared righteous by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. These lepers didn't fix up, clean up, straighten up. Nope, they come as lepers to Christ and cried, "Have mercy on me." You don't have to clean up, fix up, straighten up. Just come to Christ as you are in your sinfulness and with all of your guiltiness and plead for mercy, and He will give you mercy. It is not the godly that find justification. It's the ungodly. Say amen. If you try to come to God on the basis of your own righteousness, you'll be refused. Remember, grace is like water. It always flows to the lowest place. So if you want to find the grace and mercy of God, find the lowest place. That's where it will be puddled for you. The guiltiness of their cry. Say amen. Number two, the grace for their condition. And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, that's important, as they went, they were what? Cleansed. Do you see that Jesus did not immediately heal them? Say amen. Could Jesus have immediately healed them? Sure. But he didn't. They were to do as he said. Say amen. Which is the exercise of faith. Go show yourselves unto the priests. Yet they're not immediately healed. Now think about this. When does a leper go show himself to the priest? When he's healed. No use going to the priest if you're still full of leprosy. Say amen. But here, these lepers are still lepers. Say amen. But Christ says, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, they can see themselves, can they not? They can look at their arms. They can look at their legs. They can look at the other nine lepers. And they can see the disease still evident on their skin. And yet, they're told to go. Isn't faith doing what Christ says to do, even though everything outwardly seems to point to the contrary? They must believe what Jesus says. And if Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priest, Jesus must also be saying, you're healed. Yet it don't look like I'm healed. And it don't look like these other nine guys are healed. And of course, when they go to the priest, they would go through this whole series of tests whereby they would declare the person clean or unclean. When Jesus said go, they were not healed. But they must, by faith in the authority of Jesus, obey His word. Now, what would make this command different than the command of the king or the priest or the governor. What would make this command different was the one who was making the command. Somebody help me. They must believe Jesus. They must believe that He has the power and He has the authority over life and death and even leprosy. And if Jesus says, go, show yourselves to the priest, whether I can see that I'm clean or not, I must be clean. And while their bodies bore every mark of leprosy, what did they do? They went. They obeyed. They acted upon the word of God that had declared them clean. They were to believe that they were clean. Why? Why am I supposed to believe that I am clean even though I look at myself and I see that I'm not clean? Because Jesus said so. You'll get that in a minute. They were to show themselves to the priest that they were cleansed. The priest would then declare them clean. But it was the mercy and the word of Jesus that had made them clean. Now, here's the question for you. Those of you who claim to be clean, who claim to be saved, who claim to be children of God, on what basis do you consider yourselves clean? On what basis do you consider yourselves whole? On what basis do you really, really consider yourself righteous? When every day you look at yourself and you're confronted with the daily evidence of the contrary. Somebody help me. Let me help you this morning. For those of you who are in denial, there are days when you don't look clean. There are days when you don't talk clean. And some of you are sitting there without nodding ahead or nothing. I know you think you're holier than anybody else, but there are days, and those days are many, that you don't look clean, talk clean, act clean, or think clean. And so when you don't look clean, talk clean, act clean, think clean, what makes you think you are clean? What's the basis of that? Because if you listen to the vast majority of religions, and you listen to the vast majority of independent Baptist churches, if you don't look clean, act clean, walk clean, live right, spit white, you ain't clean. And I'm telling you, they didn't look clean, didn't feel clean, but they were clean. On what basis do you consider yourself clean when there are days and many days when we must think we're not clean? What is the answer to that? The answer is the Word of God. On the basis of the authority of God, the God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, on the basis of the saving work of Jesus Christ alone, who died for us that He might give us new life in Him, we are to trust Jesus and believe the Scriptures which say that all that come to Jesus for mercy, He will wash, sanctify, justify in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. God, believe that. Even when it don't seem that you're clean. You see, these lepers had to believe that a transformation had taken place, even though they couldn't notice a transformation had taken place. You're getting real quiet on me. Is that your independent Baptist coming out of you? Somebody help me. These lepers, were incapable of cleansing their own heart or healing their own sick soul. What they had to do? They had to trust Jesus. It is His work to make us godly. It is His work to make us spiritually alive. It is His work to make us desirous of the things of God. If we are cleansed, we are cleansed only by the grace and mercy of God. Not by what we do, not by how we look, not necessarily by how we talk, or how we think, but what Christ did. Say amen. Number three. The guiltiness of their cry as they stand at a distance and cry out for the mercy of Jesus. The grace that they find for their condition. They had to believe the word of Christ, the power of Christ, the work of Christ, even when they could not see it. And then thirdly, the gratitude for one's change. Now, I think looking at this text, that all 10 of the lepers showed great faith. All 10 obeyed the Lord, right? Right? Somebody help me. Read the text with me. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. And it said, they all went. Even though they were not healed, they all went. So they all by faith went to the priest. And it says that as they all went, they all were cleansed. Don't make it say something it don't say. Just to fit your little theological box. They all were commanded to go. They all went. And as they went, they were all cleansed. They were all healed of their leprosy, which is a symbol of sin. But then we see that only one returned with praise and thanks to the Lord. And the question is, where are the other nine? Right? Isn't that the question you ask? It's a question Jesus asked. Were there not 10 healed? And he says there were 10 what? Healed. Where are the other nine? How come only one has returned? Where are the others? That's the question I ask. Where are the others? You ever thought about that? You ever thought what you would do if you were a lifelong leper, suddenly healed of your leprosy, going to the priest, being healed, declared that you're clean? You ever think what you'd do? I'm pretty sure some of them are with their families. Somebody help me. Hugging their wife and hugging their children that they haven't touched in years. Somebody help me. Seeing those ones that they love, that they can only view from a distance, that they can only lay their head on their pillow at night and remember the times that they were able to hold them and love them and show them and express to them their love for them. Now they're able to do it. Maybe they're with their families. Enjoying them. Maybe they're catching up with old friends that they haven't been able to speak with for years. Maybe they're enjoying something that they hadn't been able to enjoy for a long time. We don't know what they're doing. All we do know is that they did not return this day with this leper to offer thanks to Jesus. Now, are you listening? Listen, please listen. We could come to this text and look at it and come to the conclusion that only this one man who showed his grateful heart truly received the salvation of God. We could view it that way. We could say that this one who bore the fruit of gratitude and came back to Jesus was the only one that was truly spiritually saved. The others experienced the grace of God in their physical healing, but they didn't receive the grace of God in their spiritual healing. And we can infer from Jesus saying, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." And we could think that maybe the leprosy came back on the other nine because they didn't come and thank Jesus. And that may be true, I don't know. But if these nine were not truly saved because they neglected to be grateful to Jesus, then I am going to doubt that any of us in this room today have any hope of heaven either. Because when you say, "It is only the one that showed gratitude that was saved," you're adding to grace. And my question is this: what about all the times you have failed to show gratitude? Does that make you unsaved? You with me? I'm thinking how little gratitude we truly express in light of everything Jesus has done for us. Has Jesus not done more for you than He did for these nine lepers that failed to show gratitude to Him? And have you not, be honest, been neglectful to show gratitude to Him? You see, what I'm doing is I'm trying to get you off this merry-go-round of thinking, "Boy, I'm like that one leper that come back." No, you're like the nine that didn't. That's the story. That's the deal. These nine lepers, don't get me wrong, these nine lepers that did not return should have been overwhelmed with praise for such an incredible miracle that they had received. But listen to me, those of us who claim to be saved by the grace of God and kept by the grace of God and sanctified by the grace of God and one day will be glorified by the grace of God, so should we be overwhelmed by what we have received. We have been healed from the horrid state of sin. We who were guilty have been robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We have been born again by the power of the work of Christ, who has given us new life by His death for us on the cross. So when it comes to gratitude, how do we rate? Do we praise God and thank Him to the level that He deserves for all the blessings He gives us? Do we thank Him daily and constantly and continuously for our health? Or do we just think about our health when it goes south? And then all of a sudden, we're crying out to God. Do we thank God daily, continuously, for His provisions, for His redemption, for His forgiveness, for His resurrection? Let me tell you something. These lepers had a lot to be thankful for, but we have a lot to be thankful for as well. And when we pray, think about this, when we pray, our prayers aren't filled with praise. They're filled with mainly list of requests or maybe complaints for things that we want we have not received. But not much praise. Or what about our unwillingness to serve? Our unwillingness to give? Our unwillingness to forgive our brother and sister in Christ? Our unwillingness to sacrifice for the Lord, because each of those things are an outflowing of our gratitude to God for the greatness of His salvation that He has given to us and a measure of our spiritual attitudes. Amen. If our salvation depends on our gratitude, I don't have any confidence that any of us are going to make it when we die. This one healed leper that did come back, we are told, was a Samaritan. He was a foreigner. He was a stranger. Don't miss that. He was from a nation. He was of a people who the Israelites hated and shunned. Presumably, the other nine lepers were Jewish. This man was a Gentile. So no, get this now. Not only was he at a distance from God because of his leprosy, he was at a greater distance than the other nine because he was a Gentile. Not only was he separated by his sin, he wasn't even of the people of God. And if he would have gone to Jerusalem and had tried to enter into the temple, he would have encountered a keep out sign that was directed at all foreigners. No foreigners allowed. He was not of the people of God. He had no claim on Jesus. And yet, this foreigner who was at a greater distance than the Jews, he receives the grace of God that day. This outsider found mercy in Christ that was seemingly reserved for only Jews. Somebody help me. This foreigner who received the grace of God and found mercy in Christ, this foreigner was willing and eager and motivated to draw as near as he could to offer up a heart of worship and praise and thanks. Do you see the point now? The more you see your undeservedness, the more you see your unworthiness, the lower you see yourselves, the farther you see yourself from God, the worse you think you are, the greater you will appreciate the grace and the blessing of what Christ has done, and the more joy you'll have in Christ, and the more thanks that you will offer. That's the thing. And the more we think we deserve from God, the better we think we are, the closer we think we are, when we think we're sold out, the more worthy we think we are, the less joy we'll have in Christ and the less thanks we will offer up to God. Now, do you see the danger in teaching that tells you how valuable you are? That tells you how wonderful you are? That tells you how much potential you possess? Or how much better you're becoming? You know why that's such dangerous stuff to hear in churches? Because it affects your gratitude for what Christ has accomplished for you by Himself. Somebody help me. If we today, as God's people, truly understand the enormous debt that we owed, the unworthiness to come to Him, the undeservedness that we have to even have any grace or mercy of God extended to us, we will come to Him humbly, repenting of our ingratitude, and pouring out with a heart of thankfulness to Christ, who has loved us with an everlasting love, who has given Himself for us on the cross, and now intercedes and reigns for us in glory. Say amen. It is the one who knew He had no claim. He had nothing that deserved this. He was an outsider. He was a stranger. He was a foreigner. He was a Samaritan. He knew he deserved death and hell. And he found grace and mercy and salvation and glory and heaven and eternity and life in Christ. It had nothing to do with his healing or their healing. It had to do with his understanding of what Christ had done for him. Say amen. What has Christ done for you and continues to do? Should we not be every day constantly drawing into his presence, falling upon our knees with hearts of gratitude and thankfulness for all that he has done, all that he is doing, and all that he has promised to do for us? Say amen. The more you see that, the lower you are, the greater he is, the more your praise for him will be. Amen. Let's stand.